All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
As you know, Cole, the entire Earth, our entire bodies, our destinies are all controlled by phases of the heavenly bodies.
Yeah, no, there's the distant, faraway, massive things push and pull on our fluids and such.
Yeah, when you look and it's like, oh, like I'm a Scorpio. Are you a Scorpio rising? Are you
No.
Scorpio origins?
Most people just know their
Are you?
sun sign. They don't know they don't know the whole chart.
Sure, there's a moon sign, the sign for a bunch of different stars and stuff like that.
Many,
So,
many different houses.
lots of houses. You got to figure out which house is rising, which house is falling. So I have got an intolerable Wiccan to do star signs for both of us. And I figured we just look up our things, and it's our destiny to do this show, and it will tell us, because right now as a Virgo, I get vague bullshit. Like if I look that up, it says like, oh, like you're a bunch of nice things about me, and you're neat, and I'm like, I'm not neat, and then it's like, but if you keep drilling down, if you find out your moon signs and your sun signs and your other sun signs and your Mars signs,
It gets
you
more
know it all.
specific. It can even predict like the exact latitude and longitude of where you are right now.
Yeah, it eventually becomes essentially just like a GPS, and I think it would
Except
tell us what.
it helps God find you to smite
Yeah,
you.
exactly. Gods, don't offend the intolerable Wiccan. This way, I figure if we get destiny drilled down far enough, we'll figure out which game we are destined to do next. So here is this phone book size chart for you.
All right. Lots of
Hop.
marks on this. Yeah. No. I definitely know how to read.
Yeah, no, just keep going. We'll eventually find out what you're doing today and find out what you're doing in the future as well. I like to read magazines backwards, so I know that I'm going to die as a second place winner and a county fart off. So, yeah.
No, so I definitely can read this. I want to make sure that you can read this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I can read.
Okay. No,
Yeah.
go ahead. You can do it.
Okay. So let me flip through. Earlier today, had chili breakfast, chili brunch. Chili lunch, chili snack.
That's
Okay,
really a whole
this is
the,
a lot of pages, dude.
a whole, whole, whole bunch of them. Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, no, I just it's pretty accurate so far.
Chili shower.
Yeah, I mean, like I spent all day at the chili district, so.
Chili nap. I don't know what that is. Okay. It looks like the game we're going to be doing today is. It says here, after thou puts down thy chili. Thyst shall play Sailor Moon.
Oh, okay,
Another
yeah.
story.
Oh no, I thought it'd be one of the fun fighting games. Fuck.
Yeah, no, yeah, this. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, Sailor Moon. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
This is After Suffering, the show where we play bad games. You don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
This is a specific person doing it to us.
Yes, yeah, this is another another commissioned episode. This is by one Evan. Evan, who says about Sailor Moon and another story. I remember playing this back when I was a preteen and SNES emulators were a pretty new thing. This is one of the first games I translated via patch, when I felt that I had to play every RPG I could get access to. And that is the only reason to play this, I think, if
It
you
is
are
that.
if you have, again, that form of pica.
You have to eat all the RPGs, and I'm all a lot of Paladin's Quest.
Fill space.
It is. This is a space-filling game, and it's a franchise maybe you have a lot of affection for that I think is cool. Sailor Moon's cool. At the same time, it's not worth playing this game. This game does like has a series of like unforgivables. in a row. The forbidden Lunchable.
It lets you know.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. The forbidden Lunchable.
Unforgivables. Just Emu and Dodo and shit like that.
Like foie gras.
Spread over Ortland crackers.
Well, yeah.
On a Dodo pate.
It's nothing but bird torture. Like the 12 Nights of Christmas.
The packaging is veal. Crack open a pack of Unforgivables.
I just really like the idea of spreading foie gras across a cracker using that tiny little red rectangle that you get in the Lunchable. Mm-hmm. Maybe you only get those in the my Lunchable of choice was the pizza Lunchable.
Oh sure, that's the best Lunchable.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. We don't have to divert, but like. That's it. That's one of those underused exhibits in the like pizza contains multitudes, thing, because it's like pizza is a thing. Frozen pizza is like a different thing.
Yeah.
Cafeteria pizza is like a different thing. Like microwaved French bread pizza is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then those Lunchables pizzas is like a totally different thing. It's like a tomato pita.
Yeah. Well, no, it is extremely sweet tomato sauce spread onto a literal soggy biscuit.
Yeah.
Like what? How is that cracker so moist, Gary?
Yeah, it's extremely moist though, and it stays moist.
Yeah.
You know, there's food scientists.
Yeah. No, Clark Griswold has been on the case. It is a non-nutritive spray that they apply that makes it perma moist.
Indeed.
Yeah. No, the actual best Lunchable is the P3.
Those protein threes.
The portable protein pack for adults and men.
Isn't it weird how in our lifetime we saw the value of protein like happen?
Yeah.
You know, like now, like nobody talked about protein when I was growing up. And then all of a sudden when I turned like 31,
mm-hmm.
it became a branding thing.
Yeah.
To have protein.
I mean, like when I grew up, everything was the fucking food pyramid. That goddamn piece of propaganda. Like, no.
Good.
Yeah. No good. But yeah, no, I agree. And it's a good thing because protein's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love protein. It's one of the few things that I will crave I'll crave sweets.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a sweet tooth, but I will crave protein. Like mm-hmm. so every once in a while, I'll just like wake up and be like, oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah. Oh, like, man, yeah, I need to get some ham in here.
Yeah. Yep. So anywho.
Anyway.
Sailor Moon, what were you saying?
I forget what I was saying about Sailor Moon. So you said Unforgivable. So for as much as this game wastes your time, it goes out of its way to not waste your time, because even before you get to a title screen, it tells you exactly what it is by giving you. Okay. So I thought, okay, I'm going to watch the cinematic and it's going to keep on going. Watch for about 10 minutes. Gary, tell me there are two more of them, if there are three. Yeah,
there are three separate attract modes. Like if you don't press anything, you get the story told over a half hour.
Uh-huh.
And a TV show is not a half hour.
Hmm.
It's a third again as, or twice, you know, half again as big as a TV show.
Yeah.
You know, like I've been watching Parks and Rec again, and like it's a 20-minute show. It's cold open, there's 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's 30 minutes. It's a 10-minute and a cutscene. Like I hate a long cutscene.
Mm-hmm.
This is common knowledge. I think they're shit and no one should ever do them. However, they're so much worse when they are not like, this made me think that like Metal Gear and Okami had good cutscenes because at least they're animated and cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 16-bit JRPG cutscene that's this long, where it's just these like models standing next to each other, saying 7 or 8 word sentences with like a second or two between them.
Yeah,
I couldn't watch it.
But you did though.
I had it on. I had a lot of windows open. I multitasked like a motherfucker. Like I couldn't watch it. Like I was just like, I cannot. My attention span is not strong enough for like. Seven, you know, oh, the evil presence is a new .. enemy. and I'm like,
it's especially
especially
unforgivable in the in an attract mode like that, because if this was in the game, you could just mash through it. Like I can skim this text, you know, and gather what little value there is out of this, you know, by tapping it forward. No, in the attract mode, which you're probably going to want to watch so you can get some context for this. No, everything is separated. Like there are those pauses in between. And that's why I was not eager to wait around for the second one.
No. And why would there be a second one?
Yeah.
You know, the plot of this is not that complicated.
Right.
You know, it's just like, this really doesn't need this much. And because it's not in the game. So not only can you not control the pace, but you're not really invested. in it yet. Like, it's not like, it's not the story continuing. It's all just setup stuff.
Yeah. And you know, it's very much assuming that you are invested in the world of Sailor Moon by this point. Like, it does nothing onboard to onboard you because it is explicitly for fans.
Yeah. This is a fan creation.
Yeah.
You know, or for fans. Yeah. Not a creation, but for fans for sure.
Yeah.
And like, I like Sailor Moon. Like, I talked about it before. It's probably the anime I've watched the most episodes of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched it when it first came to America. Me and Derek were both big fans. He dressed up as Sailor Moon once for Halloween. It was awesome. That was, you know, I got all the anime out of my system in, you know, 1999.
Yeah.
You know, and I like it. I think it is a cute show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is a cute show.
It's got Luna. Like, that recommends it greatly. Cute. Yeah.
Yeah. I bought a girl's makeup container that was a Luna. It was a little Luna head that we'd open up the head, because the Luna ball was a thing in the show.
Mm-hmm.
You'd open up the head and it had a mirror on the top and then like a little place to put makeup and shit. And I just wanted a tchotchke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, I like Sailor Moon. Like, I think Sailor Moon is cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good though. My desire for Sailor Moon does not transcend my, you know, every aspect of my being.
It does not transcend the things that you expect from a video game.
Yeah, it doesn't transcend my desire to be entertained.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, watch out for fireballs, like number one or number two, like, don't threaten me with boredom. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't. And it's so slow.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you start playing, it's also slow. Like, it's not like there's a fireworks factory.
No, right. No. Like, it takes a little while before you get to your first fight. It does, you know, what could be considered an admirable job of trying to mimic an episode of the show, because you do have just the girls living their actual life, like talking about their love interests and things like that, like, you know, like a person would, but that, you know, where that would be charming and quaint in a television show, in a video game, it feels very obnoxious and in your face.
Well, and also just going back to that point that is like extremely important, and please, whenever I get on the soapbox about like bad video game storytelling, an episode of the show is 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can't do the same thing and just make it happen for longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this game is longer than a season of the show. You know, like, no joke. Like, it will take longer than that. So you can't present things with the same pace. Like, you shouldn't be trying to tell the same kind of story.
Right.
You know, is that like, that just doesn't work.
They make some nods to that. Like, it is broken up into like episodes, but it's to me, that's more like a chapter kind of thing based on the fact that I read. It was like, oh, it's the same story, but it's kind of continued, just like, oh, this is Sailor Mars's episode, or this is Sailor Mercury's episode. Yeah.
And they want to give everyone screen time, which makes sense. Cause you know, they're that's a big deal to license. Yeah. It's an ensemble. Yeah. Like, these are good characters. It's just a really, really poorly made thing. And the first fight you get into, which we, you know, not to bury the lead, is against a creature, or this might not be the first fight. Like, I played and then I skipped around. So like, literally no one correct me. This might be later, but like, a major antagonist is a character named, Jarcock. Like, and I was like, Jarcock. And if you look, on the thing, like the YouTube link I'm looking at now, when I search Jarcock, like, by two guys, one game, Jarcock Brown, it's never good when your Jarcock is brown, is what it says on here. And like, I'm out. I'm done. You know, Seinfeld getting up at the movies. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, nope. You know, I'm okay. Like, I don't need Jarcock. Jarcock's a little weird little ghost. And wait, his name is Jarcock Brown. This is Jarcock Brown. So Jarcock is the name of a standard enemy. It's like what they have instead of goblins. They have Jarcock.
Yeah.
And there are different color coded Jarcocks.
Right.
So the first enemy you do fight is a Jarcock, because I was confused, because the Google result when I tried to bring it up was like a story part 21. Mm-hmm. It's because Jarcock is a recurring villain.
Okay.
In this.
Yeah.
It's like a Dick Tracy character that like
a horrible deformity.
It just looks like a guy, you know. It's just like, you know, under it shows his like trading card, and under it just in quotes like, "Don't ask." You know.
Yeah, and I have barely enough recollection of the actual series to know if that maps to anything, like if that's a person.
I would have had a field, me and Derek would have had a field day.
Yeah, like if there was a kid's cartoon with a character named Jarcock.
Yeah, I would have remembered that. Like we got, you know, roughly like 7 hours out of the X-Men character Chode from the Starjammers. Like we would have gotten a lot out of Jarcock.
Yeah, no, that would have been a banner day.
would have dined on that shit. Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, the opening chapter is like, Sailor Mercury is, she's gone off to the train station to meet her, to meet her boyfriend or whatever. Isn't that great? And then you go and they're just monsters, and there's a new evil who has awakened and is coming from the future. Literally in the opening, there is a line that I think is just delectable, which is, "Master, an evil comet is coming to return destiny to its origins."
Oof.
Destiny is capitalized.
Sure. Yeah. And to be fair, the cartoon trafficked in that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like the cartoon, every season there was a big bad for that essentially just sent monsters while the girls dealt with their, you know, the kind of high school drama and stuff. They were all named after gems, and those varied wildly in quality.
Yeah.
Like the season depended on how interesting the villain was.
Yeah. Opened up with Beryl.
Yeah. Beryl, Queen Beryl. And then there's Malachite.
Mm-hmm.
It was then season two, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Queen Beryl was like the original, kind of villain.
Yeah.
The show. Yeah. But yeah, it's frustrating to have a thing that like, I do have affection for be adapted so poorly.
Yeah.
Through a genre that is just, the gimmick of the play of this is, you know, you have all your different Sailor Scouts, they have different spells as kind of their attacks, generally take a certain amount of magic, and they are elementally aligned like the Sailor Scouts are. And that's really it. You have solo sections where you go through and you play as just one of the Sailor Scouts, and then you go through as a team sometimes, and you can do combo attacks.
Yes.
And that's pretty much it. You change your order of like what order you want to have your characters, because that will change which combos they can do, like which ones you put next to each other.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the game.
It, it does something that I think is actually really irritating, in RPGs, which is it starts you with a full party as opposed to building you up, right? Like getting used to combat with one particular person. And it's not like this is an especially complex game. I just think that is like a weirdly hostile thing to do to a new player.
It's also just, I think it feels like it's something that's not in service of the game and more in service of the license.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just like, oh, this is, you know, everyone's going to want to play with all the Sailor Scouts. Let's give them that.
Yeah.
You know? So like pretty rough stuff. And and just once you actually play it, because I didn't mention this before, Derek played through this.
Oh, really?
Who is the bigger Sailor Moon fan. I watched him play a little bit of it in like 1999 or 19, something like that.
Right.
You know, and that was like, you know, it was much more in the JRPG pocket at the time.
Right.
Which is Pocket's evil cousin who comes to visit every couple months and waste my fucking time.
Yeah, what would the JRPG version of the Neo Geo Pocket be like? WonderSwan?
Yeah, WonderSwan comes to visit. Yeah, it's just the angry goose. Just like leaves weird white and green shit all over my apartment and honks at me until I wake up. Like, WonderSwan.
Good one.
No, thanks. I really burned that fictional dumbass bird.
He took him down a notch.
Yeah, somebody's got to fight that bird. So I played this at the time when we were more in the pocket, and saw more of it than I saw today, and it just doesn't do anything particularly special.
No,
you know, like this the thing about that I'm realizing, like as I slowly come to my uneven piece with JRPGs as a concept, is that like they really need to do something special.
Yeah,
like a by the numbers one is the last thing I want to play. Like you can I'm still like interested in your Earthbounds and shit.
Yeah,
you know, but it has to do something special, and it has to be special in a way specifically that just doesn't mitigate the flaws. Like not Bravely Default special, where it just lets you skip parts of the worst parts of the genre.
Right.
It needs to do something like actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, I think I always say it's not a JRPG, but I always think about the combat in like West of Loathing or Darkest Dungeon as being kind of like JRPG combat. They just do it right.
Yeah.
Like adding positioning and stuff to that just makes it very tactical and cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. It's weird. Looking at 16-bit JRPGs or, you know, turn-based RPGs, anything like this, right? That takes inspiration from Dragon Quest or Final Fantasy. Like, weirdly enough, this feels shovelware-y in a very insidious way, where like, how could something this long and with this many words be shovelware?
Yeah. Well, it's a licensed property, you know, it has a little bit of that feel to it, even though it's from a different era before that. I mean, it's not before that became a known quantity. Like that was the thing on 8-bit, but it's kind of a genre not known for it is more the thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a like Chase the Chuck Wagon RPG. You know, it, like those, just, it's just bad license platformers. Mm-hmm. Like if you're playing something that is like a bad license game, it's going to be a shitty platformer is kind of the standard. And whenever it deviates from that, it's a little bit weird.
Yeah. The Sailor Moon fighting games are kind of fun, like in the way that a 16-bit fighting game can be.
Yeah, they're perfectly playable.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and it's another way of just getting a big dose of characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to see these characters. I just want to like have Tuxedo Mask hang around. I just want to have, you know, Luna's weird boyfriend from the future, Artibus, like show up.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that is a fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any Sailor Moon games have come to the United States. Like we're looking at a big list of Sailor Moon games. It kind of looks like it. I can verify that. There's one says arcade game, so it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like none of these have come to the United States.
Yeah, I wonder if it just kind of like came in at a weird time for that, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Like it came to my, you know, like to regular television, I guess it would be the right way to say that. It came to regular television before Dragon Ball did. But like even Dragon Ball in the US, we got that one NES game that was, you know, kind of like dummied out like it was Dragon Ball, but not quite like Dragon Power or whatever.
Yeah.
But around this time, like in the mid 90s, like all that we had was Ultimate Battle 22, and that was it. Like until like the PS2 era came, like after Dragon Ball was on Toonami, it became like the biggest thing ever. Then it was safe for them to bring those to the US. So I'm actually the more shocking thing isn't that there was no Sailor Moon game. The shocking thing is that it was never like reskinned and then brought over like under
right as something else. Yeah. You know, at least as far as I know, and this is a pretty cursory search.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. And some of them were localized to the West, just not to the States.
Right.
So some of these games came out in like Europe and France and stuff.
Yeah.
But just not in the States.
Yeah.
And it was like a fairly big hit. So that's the part that I think it's just kind of the wheels turn too slowly to capitalize on such.
Yeah. They just missed their window. Yeah, I remember it being big. Like I remember it, I remember there being an article in the newspaper that my parents like, you know, called out. They said like, oh, they say this cartoon's going to be the new Power Rangers. I'm like, oh, okay. Mm. weirdly enough, it was pretty big. I feel like a dipshit about this. I remember like waking up, it aired on like either USA or WGN or something like that, like really, really early. You know, and it was aired serially. So like I would wake up at like 6 o'clock and watch this in secret because like I didn't want my family to make fun of me or anybody to make fun of me for watching this show about girls.
Watching a girly show, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, this is like a good fun show. Like it is fun in the way that anything where you have like a small team of like five or fewer members that are color coded differently and have different abilities and also might solve problems that are relatable to me as a young person. Mm-hmm. You know, like I still like, I cringe. Like I look back at myself like, oh, you're 8 years old and you're afraid of liking a girly thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the nice thing is like, we're slowly seeing that die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like one of the first, like, I remember the very first time I was confronted with that idea. My dad, whose name was Gary Butterfield, knew another guy named Gary, which was very rare. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this just because it's in my memory. It's not really notable, the story, but he was a black guy just mm-hmm. because it was like, it was unusual, right? Like where I grew up was not very diverse.
Right.
And my dad like was kind of racist, but had this friend, mm-hmm. Named Gary, who was a black guy. And I know he was racist because he said that, Gary's kids couldn't play in our pool because their skins have different oils on them. Which is, yeah, my dad's a piece of shit. Like there's no get around it. Right. But I just, that's a distinct memory of me realizing like my dad was racist,
right.
You know, and my dad left like when I was like 12 or something, I was 10 maybe when this happened. I didn't like, you know, call him out.
Right.
Like
right.
I did a piece on Medium about at that point, like, you know, I was fucking 10.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking like, it's like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
I don't like that. But this other Gary, his one of his sons, like I was hanging out at their house, we were playing like just like kids do, and he was playing with Barbies, like he just had like a bunch of Barbies, and mm-hmm. it was very clear, like in retrospect, I didn't know this at the time, but they didn't have a lot of money, and like we didn't either, but they didn't have a lot of money, and just like these were just
the toys they had. Yeah,
toys is just like, what if you just had a bunch of things in a box?
Right.
You know, there were toys. They're just kind of all-purpose toys.
Mm-hmm.
So we were playing like with these Barbies, and both of our dads got real mad at us.
Mm.
And that was the first time I remember being exposed to that idea. And we were just like, we weren't like, what if we were these ladies and we fucked? You know, what if we were these ladies and we went and got husbands and got dicked? You know, like, we weren't doing anything. We were just like, hello, how are you? You know, like, we were just pretending like they're little people. Like, when I was a kid, I used to make towns a lot with my action figures. I would set up stores. I would be like, this person runs this store, this person runs this store, and make towns.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we were just kind of like playing like village. You know, these like tall, monstrous women, with, like this village full of 7.5 foot tall, like bayonetas, like, going around and chatting with each other. And both of our dads came over together, like they had coordinated it to explain to us why that was bad.
They're just leaping and like knocking out of your hands, like it's fucking in the line of fire.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's shitty.
Yeah, it was dumb. Yeah. And then they said, like, that kid who I found out who I was playing with, had his died because he stuck his arm out of a window of a truck and had his arm sheared off.
Wait, that actually happens?
That actually happened. It wasn't like my dad trying to fool me not to do that. Like, I remember it being extremely sad and like my dad going to the funeral.
Good God.
So like they couldn't save him. And like my dad, went and like, I didn't want to go because, you know, that's scary and weird, but yeah. So yeah, that kid died.
Yeah. That is sad. No, my incredulity is like that. That's one of those things like you'll shoot your eye out that parents always say. Yeah, always leave a note.
It's one of those things, but it happened. So pretty fucked up.
Yeah, poor kid. Jesus.
Yeah, so, yeah, super super shitty. Like I feel like that was not a happy family. Like it's one of those things where you think back on it.
Yeah.
You know, like my dad had three friends that I remember hanging out with. I was like, that guy, there was a guy who lived out in the middle of the woods, like kind of outside of town.
Okay.
Who was kind of like a hunter prepper kind of guy.
Yeah. You're painting the picture. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like if you can imagine that. And, that was real weird. Every time we went out there, I just walked around these woods, which was kind of fun, but none of the kids, all the kids were like older and like clearly fucking. You know, the kids who hung out there, like not the brothers and sisters, but like
they were OS overtly sexual.
Yes. Okay. Like there were like there was like 17, 16 year olds, and I'm like 10.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
And they're hanging out and they're just like going into like other rooms and like I'd known enough about sex.
Yeah, you know what penises and vaginas do. Yeah.
Yeah. Like at this point I think I was already prepubescent as well. Like at this point I think I was already very fascinated by and knowledgeable and for a 10-year-old.
Yeah, you weren't in the air, but you were clear for takeoff.
Yeah, this was not I was a real Peter Peach fuzz. And so these kids, and they were clearly, and I remember I have a very distinct memory of like the guy's wife, the mom of one of the kids, like knowing about it, like saying something suggestive about knowing about it in like a real like way that like creeped me the fuck out, like in a real gumo sense. And then the other one was just like a guy who I remember I've told this before, where like I had to pee and he had to pee, and he's like, do you want to play Crossfire? And I thought he meant that cool board game where you shot BBs at each other.
You'll get caught like, up in the
And I was like, you guys have that? And he's like, no. And he was talking about pissing at the same time and peeing into the same toilet.
We call it sword fighting, like when you're at the trough.
So he was joking about that, but I thought he meant the cool board game. Those are my dad's three dirtbag friends. If anyone wants to make like a terrible sitcom about, the Gary who had this, lost his son wasn't a dirtbag. I think that he was just, toxically masculine and sad, but not dirtbag. But the other guys definitely had like such extreme dirtbag vibes, dude. Like real gross shit.
Yeah. So speaking of dirtbags, in the run up to this recording session, you sent me a message saying, hey, we're going to get into pun 5-10 minutes. That's usual for us. But then you also said, heads up, my dirtbag neighbor is riding dirt bikes around.
Yep. I got one of the neighbors in this like complex, the one, so that my, it's a bunch of apartments and there's a house that has the same color scheme and stuff. I think I figured it out. I think these used to be nice motels.
Okay.
Like big suites.
A while ago, your guess was that it was like some kind of weird, like company camp kind of thing.
That's what it looked like. Yeah. Now I think they were hotels.
Okay.
Or like motels. So it's like, it's a small apartment. It's bigger than my old apartment. It's a perfect size for me, but mm-hmm. it also could be like a nice suite.
Yeah.
So I think the house was like where they would have like the person who ran it would live.
Right.
So there's also like a house that's like a 2-bedroom house. It's still small, but it's a little bit bigger. And that guy has a garage. I don't have a garage and has dirt bikes. And all this morning before we recorded, he was just like revving and doing laps around like the block with the loudest dirt bike in the world.
And dirt bikes, that is a particularly piercing kind of engine noise too.
Yeah. Yeah. Real, real high pitch shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that guy is not, he's not good. Did not like that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say just real quick before we move totally on from Sailor Moon. Uh-huh. When I was looking this up, I found a website that is a really great like distillation of everything against me. Like I found this, like it's like this fan site, and it's, you know, https://fantasyanime.com/animeRPGs.
Why is this auto-completing? Have I been here?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you have to ask yourself that question, but like... it's a very funny, like old looking website, like
yeah.
fan site of this. When you hover over the things, there's a little picture of Sailor Moon doing a hooray. I think it's really cute.
Yeah.
So this is pretty good. That's all.
Okay.
Lots of little animated GIFs, like at the bottom of the screen, I looked on the character thing
uh-huh.
and they have a screenshot of the town with Sailor Moon and Luna, which is walking back and forth in the background, like as an animated GIF. Like this is a very nice website from a certain era.
Yeah. Neat. Yeah, I might actually like look around this a little bit more.
it's fun to click around just because it's a real, it's a relic.
Yeah. Let's see here. No, so there's a little bit of game facts. If you look at the message board for this, there's one particular guy, Ultra Adapter.
Okay.
Who is extremely vexed by the idea that most of the English speaking world is playing an English ROM of this.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't look through this.
And you know, this is me breaking a rule about pointing out somebody who's ESL. Hello, how to find Sailor Moon, another story with Japanese parentheses, original versions game playing by a person who lived in English speaking countries, such as USA, UK, and English speaking person, YouTuber from YouTube. This
I can't chart that sentence. Like
neither can I, but like just this person has posted multiple topics or threads or whatever in this very active board
in a 5-month window in 2017.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yes.
A 2-month window in 2017. I was looking at Etz Haddad. Yeah, 2-month window in 2017, so very recently.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's not having any of it.
I love the it's just how to get the English version.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the one that's new it where he says, you know, he says that word Sal you said, and then he responds to himself, "Please answer me." it's kind of sad.
I showed you my dick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you have to respond.
Yeah. Let's see here. There's somebody that they're doing a performative Twitter bereavement, RIP Iwata. It's just like this person just says title. Like he's gone. Man, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking through this too. These are like super big fans who are nitpicking this game that at least on the surface seem pretty faithful to me, at least as far as like the window dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did they even watch the cartoon?
Yeah.
You know, so there's a, yeah.
This is supposed rest between series 3 and 4, but if you notice these inconsistencies, that I hope somebody got fired for that. Yeah.
Like, there's like literally no way this wasn't going to be full of intolerable weeaboo. Like,
yeah.
Like, no, there's no literally no chance.
Yeah. Well, there's also some very entertaining, like AOL chat room style games being played. If you go a little bit deeper into this specifically, they've gotten up to like 34 or 35 threads of Sailor Moon Hurt and Heal.
Okay.
Okay.
What is that game?
So here is picture this. We are both butt naked lying on the bathroom floor. No,
I was done.
Yeah, yeah. Picture this.
Every morning there's a halo around the corner of your four-post bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
List of character names.
Okay.
List of character names from Sailor Moon. Here are the rules. You can vote once a day. Everyone starts with 9 HP. You choose one character to hurt and two characters. Sorry, let me correct that. You choose one character to heal and two characters to hurt. Healing counts for 1 point. Hurting counts for 3. The winners from the previous hurt and heals will not be in this one. Please don't reword the characters because clerical stuff like that. And it is literally just people like doing some kind of weird points based AOL chat room version of fuck, marry, kill, where they just say, kill Ray's grandpa, hurt Starfighter, heal Galaxia. And it goes on for pages and pages and pages until only a few remain. And this
that's something.
Yeah. And they're good. Like literally the thread that I have open is Sailor Moon, hurt and heal 34. So like when one of these dies, somebody just rolls it up and says, let's do it again.
That sounds really boring to me.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people are invested in it. Probably.
Unsurprisingly, one of the longest thread on this is which one is the hottest.
Okay, yeah.
The Sailor Scout. So like, you know, because that was going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know, there's literally no way these teenage girls weren't getting lusted after, you know, on the show. Like they are explicitly in high school, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not going to stop anybody.
Who was your favorite? Who was your favorite of the girls? The original five. I don't know any of the other ones from like the Outer Planets.
The Mercury.
Hmm.
The
nerdy one, the Donatello.
Yeah, the nerdy one, the Donatello.
Yeah. I like Jupiter. So, Jupiter was good.
Yeah, Jupiter's great. Yeah. It was fun. When I was 19, you know, so when I said which one was favorite, it was like a little bit like which one of these is the crush one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just worth noting, like I was 19. Like this started when I was in high school. Like this continued, you know, I think it was like 17 through 19 where this was a thing.
Right.
It might have been younger than that. It was younger than that because it was when I still stayed the night over at Derek's house. Like it was when I still had sleepovers.
It would have been younger.
It was like, age appropriate. Yeah, you know, I don't have a wall scroll of this teenager now.
No. And this made me, you know, it dug up for me like my sordid anime past, right? Where like I really liked these shows. You know, I outgrew them or whatever, but like, no, I got a lot of enjoyment out of them. You know,
there's like absolutely nothing wrong with enjoying, like they're good shows. There's nothing wrong in enjoying them. It is gross to lust after these characters.
Yeah. That's the thing, you know,
so somebody is like, I can't remember which is either a comedy special or a TV show or somebody like was presenting it as an abstract, but like if you're 17 and there's a 17-year-old character and you lust at them where it's age appropriate, can you still do that when you get older? Because with like the presumption they would age, no.
Right.
The answer to that is no, because they don't age because they're fictional characters, and all of their presentation, everything that is true about Sailor Mercury, is contained in the bounding box of her being a high school student.
Right. There's, you know? Like there's no Sailor Moon all grown up.
yeah. I like, you know, and then in that case, like, sure. Right. Like that version, you know. And it's just like there's a way that this just gets gross and it seems very easy to avoid, and people, it's fucking nerds,
real common. Yeah,
it's fraud as hell somehow.
Yeah, there's a sign by that well. Why do people keep like wandering into it?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because like I mentioned a couple times, I've been dating again, and I've been, so when you do, so you set up on internet dating sites, you set up age ranges, you know.
Yeah,
and that's a thing where it's like, you know, I always set it just because I don't necessarily go on dates with people. I always said it like a little bit older and a little bit younger. When I say a little bit younger, I mean 30.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not young. I'm 38. That's so it's like, years like, younger than me.
Like your age plus or minus 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Like right around there. And I usually go a little bit further than that just to look, you know, but I've been like, when I first got broke up with my last major girlfriend, I went on a couple of dates with a girl who was 25 and I was 34.
That seems like it'd be really weird. There's nothing saying that couldn't work, but that would be just different lives growing up.
That was exactly it. Like it sucked, you know, like it didn't work out, and she's a perfectly nice person and everything, but I was like, this is dumb.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that just as somebody who like has almost exclusively dated older women I'm not saying that because of like any like personal prejudice, like what do we talk about?
So that was essentially like my point was like, even it's one of those, there's a parallel with this with people who offload their morality to laws, mm-hmm. where like, if you offload this part, this kind of like, what is gross, what is appropriate age wise to like just a formula or something like that. Even if you don't buy that it's gross, mm-hmm. it's bad anyway.
Right.
You know, it can't just be against a rule. It can also suck.
Right.
You know, as a thing, like, it's like, yeah, you know, why would you want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, even if it's gross for you to want to date like a really young woman, why would you want to,
mm-hmm.
like, I understand, you know, there's like a 18-year-old hard body is like kind of thing, but like bodies stay good for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. And so they go bad. We did a whole episode about that, but like they stay good from like a sex sense.
Yeah,
for quite a while, you know. And if not, I feel like there's probably are people like that where it's just like they've been so enculturated where the only thing they can find attractive is this like very specific, perfect, kind of, you know, like model nakedness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I always really wonder about that. Like, how miserable must you be?
Yeah,
and like, not only is that gross morally, it's also like it's got to be sad and suck. Yeah, you know, it's got to be a shitty existence.
Yeah, I will never buy a car. What I'm waiting for is a unicorn that I can ride from place to place.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I'm gross, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's also like it's a thing that I've seen mostly in threads talking about horrible people online. But like, oh, I only want to date people who've never really dated anybody else before. Oh, so you can manipulate them. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like
that's extremely predatory and gross.
Yeah.
You know, that's real nasty as a thought. And you know, if you roll that into people who are young who are not like illegally young or even just like questionably like young, there is a thing like. Where it's so you can manipulate them, even if they haven't dated anyone, you want to do it because they're young and you can manipulate them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard for me to understand that drive. I can't, you know, I like to think I can be empathetic and put myself in a lot of people's shoes. It just, that baffles me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's a weird thing to think about because on like one hand, yes, you find attractive what you find attractive.
Yeah.
On the other hand, like pretending like there is no enculturation and that should never be questioned is also shitty.
Yeah.
You know, and just, maybe you are doing it, you know, when you feel attraction for somebody, it's a complicated feeling in some ways and it's worth examining. Like, or is this a chemical feeling or is this like, this person is a society, like a trophy. This is a societal like win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is this a chivo?
Chivo, you know?
Like,
God.
Don't date chivos, you know. Like,
you just put that into the world. Somewhere, somebody on some chan is going and saying, like, yes, she is a total chivo. Fuck.
Yep. Yeah. So somebody's making up an engagement ring that is achievement unlocked engraved on it to give to the first female streamer who answers him in chat. Yeah. Like, sexuality is fucking gross.
It's complicated.
Complicated, man. And gross. Like, the floor is so low. And we're just talking about fun stuff. Like, we didn't even get into the, you know, the rapist who is being interviewed for the Supreme Court.
Like, yeah, how about that? Yeah, like right now.
Literally as we're happening, we're doing this to distract ourselves from hell world.
Yeah. We're doing this to distract everybody from hell world. But how about this? I think that guy's a real bad egg.
Yeah. I think that guy's a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. You know?
Yeah. It's also frustrating being, you know, like being around or hearing people like you compare at the point like, oh, why did this person wait? Man, that's going way too far into.
Yeah. No, but I was thinking about that today. It's like, you know, the fucking answer.
Yeah.
That. Everyone's been telling you the answer to that for years.
Yeah.
You just don't, it's not only that you not believe the original victims. You don't believe people around you by the thousands, men and women, who are saying they don't do it because they get treated like shit.
Yeah.
Like, are you just pretending not to hear that? That is the reason. Somebody answered you.
Yeah.
Why
didn't this deceitful trollop tell me what she did? Do you hear the question that you're asking? Like, the answer is contained in it. Like, is there a word for like a question that contains almost the answer? Yeah.
Yeah. It, you know, here, Uncle Shitbag, let's jump on JSTOR and find the thousands and thousands and thousands of words of studies that support why this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, I still have access through the portal, through my student portal. Like, we can actually find the science behind this, like the stats for what happens. And you just like, just pretend not to believe it in bad faith because you don't know how to act in good faith because you're a fucking monster.
Yeah.
And so Yeah, it's a bad day for Love for My Fellow Man.
Like, yeah, it's really rough, and I've been unplugged from it just because I've been working and, you know, doing things around the house and things like that. I am dreading when I get my news podcast tonight and listen to them and hear all the clips and just hear the fucking disgrace that is being done in our goddamn names.
Yep. Yeah. Hell world. Bad country. Blah. Yeah. Yeah. Anywho, anyway. Sailor Moon, A Simpler Time. Yeah, another story. If you like this show, you can support us on Patreon if you go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Is this a premium episode or a regular episode?
This is a regular episode, Gary.
Okay, good. Yeah. So head on over there. And just real quick, you know, we're complaining about Kavanaugh and shit. Mm-hmm. I feel, and I've talked about this, I don't want to start a whole tangent, but mm-hmm. I feel genuine sympathy for people who are conservative who like our shows.
Yes.
Who don't, whenever they feel this, they feel attacked.
Uh-huh.
It is, like, just know, again, like, you don't have to agree with it. This is a real emotion, though. Like, this is actual frustration that we're feeling. It's not, you know, just, yeah, fuck these guys. It's, man, we're watching this bullshit happen.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, people are doing that. Like, it's happening. We're seeing this discourse. It's just a legit thing.
Yeah.
So it's an expression of realness.
Yeah. I understand that this is a deeply and sincerely felt hopelessness that is bubbling up. I'll speak for myself in that one, that it comes from a, man, I just wish it was better. it comes from a place of longing. And you know, it is not a recrimination on any individual. Like, everybody contributes to a larger pattern. But yeah, just like, understand this is not posturing. It, you know, the idea of virtue signaling is bullshit anyway. This is genuine and heartfelt, and take us at our words that is the case.
Yeah. It's virtue signaling is a fake idea. And if you don't, you know, if you don't like it, if you hear that and you say, no, you know what? I can't listen to people who think that,
mm-hmm.
who think that Kavanaugh is a bad person,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that he did the things he's accused of doing.
Yeah.
If you can't listen to people like that, that's fine. Uh-huh. But just, you know, sorry, like, or not sorry. Like, we know, you know, like, that's okay. I get it. It doesn't have to be a confrontation thing. I don't want to be demanded to, like, this is not disrespecting you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this isn't personal to you. I would ask you not treat it as such.
Yes.
It's just a difference in opinion that you found to be a bridge too far.
Yeah.
And we are fine with that. So, like, it is okay.
You know, if this is where we part ways, you know, over any number of offhand or deeply stated things, you know, go with God. We wish you well.
Yep. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yep. It is okay. I wish you no specific harm. Like, it is not a thing where, like, I wish bad on you. It's just, it's, you know, it's not personal.
Right.
It's just, like, it's not even hopelessness. It is immense frustration and like hate, and not mm-hmm. hate of you, the person who agrees with this, but hate of this fucker and hate of the systems that are putting in place and hate of Mitch fucking McConnell people who I think are morally bankrupt.
Yes.
And the kindest thing I can say about them.
Mm-hmm.
So anywho, if it doesn't put you off, if you, you know, then, and you do want to support us, the best way to do that is patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yep.
And ratings, reviews on iTunes or anywhere fine podcasts are sold. Mentions on message boards, mm-hmm. and going to duckfeed.tv/store.
Yeah. There you can get lots and lots of premium episodes of this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's tons of stuff, and it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, almost uniformly really good. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I say almost is because I haven't sat down and listened to all of them recently. Right. So,
yeah.
And I think that's probably about it.
Think so.
Yeah. Until next time, who is Lunadog?
I was going to say Moondog, but Lunadog's good.